Happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day, ready for the weekend. Make sure you're driving home safely. A little rainy out there today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Audio Boom. You can go wherever you get your podcasts. They are up and going. As always, want to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance. Also, are giving some love to, and this is the only way to do this so you know exactly, it's for homeless veterans. It's a golf outing. From Central Iowa Shelter Services. It's hosting their fifth annual for homeless veterans golf outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in our emergency shelter. It is on Monday, July 31st, and we will talk more about that today as well. Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles, huge games. Baltimore Orioles playing really, really well. We'll talk about that later today. Minnesota Twins are hanging in there. You are coming up to the All-Star break, and we'll talk a little bit about baseball and where everybody's at the All-Star break and what you can expect from your teams, what you can expect your teams to do. So a lot of things going on. A lot of things going on in the sports world as well. And, you know, it's funny that you have all this stuff going on. You have Victor Wembanyama and Brandon Miller getting ready to go at it tonight. That's going to be a big deal to see how, you know, you can't, if you're Wembanyama, you can't live up to the hype. You can't. You know, those first few games, Michael didn't live up to the hype. LeBron didn't live up to the hype. Shaq didn't live up to the hype. Kobe didn't live up to the hype. It gets too big. And now with social media, where social media is, it's even bigger. And there's just no possible way to do that. But, that's a huge thing. We have all kinds of different trades that happened today. We still have Dame Lillard stuff going on. Pat Fitzgerald, but I'm telling you, the two things that I have had to talk about the most today, either at work, here, everywhere, is one, Britney Spears, and the simple fact that she pressed charges on security detail for Victor Wembanyama. And what happened, she was tapping him and touching him, trying to get him to stop to either get a picture or get a autograph. I don't even know how she knew. I didn't know she was that big a sports fan. I don't know. I don't know if her people said something. And she's like, hey, I'm Britney Spears. I can do whatever I want to do. And she's trying to get at him to tap him. And the security guard hits her hand, and her hand comes back and hits. The only person she was assaulted with during all this was herself. She hit herself. Still a big story. Not even close to this story. I don't know how many people have paid attention. I don't know if you haven't been on social media today. I don't understand this. But in some alternate universe, Mr. Tom Brady, who is scripted Tom Brady, very private Tom Brady, it seems, is dating Kim Kardashian. There's one thing to be married to a billionaire supermodel. That's one thing. That's amazing. There's another who was a great mom, a great spouse, a great wife, a great partner, and your next jaunt out into the world is Kim Kardashian. Wow. All over. I'm at a loss for words of what exactly that means in this real world that we live in. I don't know. I don't understand it, and I guess it's just one of those things that I'm not supposed to understand. But this doesn't seem to fit the persona of Tom Brady. But maybe we don't. Maybe we really don't know who Tom Brady is, and that I think that's humanly possible. Okay, another big story today, and it's disturbing to a point of not enough information out and not enough information out on why this particular team did this today. But earlier today, Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald was suspended 2 weeks as school wraps up investigation into hazing allegations. It was reported by CBS Sports. That's who I'm quoting here. And the funny thing about this is, and I'm trying to figure out, the wording. I'm trying to figure out if it's an ongoing investigation and they're just now getting ready to wrap up the investigation, but they're not going to announce anything about the investigation at this time. What's the grounds of suspending him? Why weren't the grounds of suspending him? Hey, we have a very severe allegation. And to be really honest, I didn't see a whole lot. There just wasn't a lot of backstory here. I think the backstory's coming. The minute you have something like that that you feel is concerning enough to start an investigation, why do you not suspend him then? Why are you suspending him now for two? And how do you come up with 2 weeks? Is a hazing incident somewhere in your bylaws that deserves a 2 week? I would have said, I mean, it, once again, just me. If this happened to, if I'm the athletic director, and I don't know if it came from the athletic director, I don't know if it came from the university itself. If I'm the university spokesman or if I'm the athletic director and I have these and the conversation is we're having conversations and we're going to dig deeper because it's kind of disturbing, then you go, okay, do we know all involved? Maybe not yet, but either what did he know? When did he know it? You know, it sounds like the OJ trial. What did he know? When did he know it? Who did he do? You know, all that stuff. If they can't clear Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern, then you suspend him the moment you start the investigation. You suspend him without pay, and you go through your investigation. But you suspend him for 2 weeks as school is wrapping up its investigation into hazing allegations. Now, if you think the allegations have merit, then it shouldn't. My thought process is it shouldn't be a 2 week. It should be a suspension until we actually have everything and are done. None of this makes sense. Two weeks for Pat Fitzgerald not getting a paycheck for what Pat Fitzgerald makes, that's not a lot. I don't know. I think I don't know how big a story it is. I don't know. Anytime that you have things like that happen, and for everybody out there that says, "Oh, come on, this it's overblown," it's probably the exact opposite. Sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, all these things on campus, in locker rooms, and all of that is probably more vastly unreported than you can ever imagine. At every level. And I have an assumption that it happens at every level. I just thought the wording was weird. And that gets back to this one has a little bit more teeth today. It gets back to Brooks Koepka and Matthew Wolff. Brooks Koepka, they're on the same team in LIV, their golf team. And Brooks Koepka came out yesterday and says, you know, Matthew Wolff is wasting his talent. He doesn't care. He doesn't understand the team concept. He's not a good teammate. All of these things. I don't know what Brooks Koepka is Brooks Koepka. Here's the thing that we know about Brooks Koepka. And this is the fun stuff about having a forum, a sports talk radio forum. Listen, Brooks Koepka is good at playing golf. He is outstanding, maybe even excellent at playing golf. I don't think anyone could call into the show and disagree with that. Here's the things that Brooks Koepka is not. He's not a psychologist. He's not a person that is, you know, been made aware of what's going on in Matthew Wolff's life. He's his teammate. Key there is teammate. Somebody that you should be sticking up for and looking out for and not harassing and saying bad things to somebody live so everybody can hear it. It's a really interesting thing. And I think at some point in time, everybody goes through times that you mentally just can't take it anymore. And you don't know what it is. I've gone through times like that, that things that I think would make me happy didn't make me happy. And things that make me sad weren't making me as sad. I couldn't feel either side of the spectrum. I was just dull right down the middle. And that's a lot that Matthew Wolff, as he's talked about, is going through. There's no highs or lows. There's just nothing. There's no enjoyment in anything that he does. And the first thing in the world you would like not to have happen is your teammate not have your back. I thought in the last 3 or 4 weeks, Brooks Koepka had gained back some momentum of not being a jerk. I wanted to say ASS, but I didn't know if I could. Everybody was going, okay, you know, man, look how Brooks is handling. He won another major. Look how he's handling this. He could be throwing this in the face, but he's not because he understands that LIV and the PGA, it's still an ongoing process. Man, maybe it's a new Brooks Koepka. It takes him all of 2 weeks to throw that away by doing what he did. And some people can, there's a lot of people out there that aren't understanding. Matthew Wolff is just saying that, you know, he's lost his golf game and he's just saying that so it gives him an out. He doesn't need an out. You're not forced to play golf on the PGA. If he wasn't feeling good or if he wasn't doing that, he could just get out. That's the part that everybody doesn't understand. There's a lot of people that do, and there's a lot of people that have his back, and a lot of people are helping him. When you're in that darkness, there is no light. You can't see the light. You can't feel the light. You don't even have an idea if there even is a light. And then you have somebody going out, your teammate, saying bad things about you. I felt really bad for him today and yesterday. He came out and said, listen, I don't agree with what Brooks said. I don't like getting hit when I'm down. But he goes, you know what? I got to be me. I'm still working through this stuff. It's a difficult process. I have my ups, I have my downs. And when his problem right now is if he hits a good shot, he doesn't feel anything. And if he hits a bad shot, he doesn't feel anything. That's a very difficult way of going through life. And what you need when you have things like that happening is friends, teammates, loved ones, family, the golf community helping. I saw one today. Well, he hasn't reached out. That's the problem. They don't have the ability to reach out. You know how hard it is to reach out to someone to tell them you're miserable and don't want to be here and can't do any of these things because people don't believe you. So I just wanted to take a little bit of this time today. I thought with all the things that Britney Spears has going on, trying to get his autograph and then blowing it out of proportion was a horrible thing for her. It just keeps her in that cycle. And the same with Matthew Wolf. You have to be able to reach out and see these things, folks. We have people that we can help. And it may not be as much as everybody thinks is what the help is. It's just, hey, every once in a while, I walk up, tap him on the shoulder. Hey, hope you're having a great day. You know what? If you're not, if you ever need to talk about it, give me a call. If you ever have a time that you need something, give me a call. It's pretty easy. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more sports stuff to talk about. I'll be back right after this break. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great week. Get ready for a great weekend. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles. Tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a big series. We'll get into that here in a little bit about just how big a series, how big an all-star break it's going to be, who needs the all-star break. A lot of baseball things to talk about today. First is Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. You can go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from vehicle to mortgage. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Big Buzz blog for their business insight or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Member FDIC went through and did that. Did most of it online. Finished everything. Waiting for everything to get completely done. And very excited to be a Northwest Bank customer. So really appreciate them. And it's as easy as what it says. There's always, and I say that, it's as easy as it is. But there's always, there's always some ups and downs when you go through this. And especially, so this is one of those times to give a financial tip from someone who should have taken a financial tip a long time ago. It matters how you handle your money, your bills, your everything to do with your financial picture. It's important that you take care of it, that you look at it every day, that you study it, you find things to make it happen, to make it better. And if you don't have the answers, go to the people to get the answers. Northwest Bank happens to be one of those people. So that is my spiel for the day, because it's one of those things. I thought about this the other day, going back and thinking about things, wow, if I knew what I knew today, how would that have changed me in high school? I don't know. I, I, there's just been different parts of my life that I went, you know what? What would happen if I'd have done something differently? Now, on the side of it that I don't, everything that I did in my life led me to the most important person in my life, Jennifer. Led me to her family with Nana, who is wonderful, and say hello to Nana, as always. Love Nana. And getting that after I went and watched all three of my boys play softball last night. And I've been thinking about this for a lot, and I'm like, that's why everything that happened in my life happened the correct way. Would I have liked to done things differently when I was 18, 19, 20, 21? Yes. But boy, once I hit 30 and what I've achieved and what has fallen to me and everything, I wouldn't want to change a thing. I just wish there's times that I would have listened to different people more than what I did. But getting to sit there with all three of my boys last night playing, and I had Penny with me last night, Jen was with me. Man, when I got home and I went to bed last night, I actually looked up and went, man, I am a lucky son of a gun. The fact that I get to sit in here 3 days a week and do a show with my buddy, I'm like, man, I'm a lucky dude. So remember that, but you can always change. And financially, just being more financially conscious is a very important thing. Okay, let's see. So I've picked on Tom Brady today. I've picked on Brooks Koepka a little bit with Britney Spears. Once again, one of the biggest sports stories today is Victor Wembanyama. He's going to play Charlotte tonight. Charlotte has Brandon Miller. I don't know if you've, you know, these summer league games when you have rookies and second year players and all that playing. You know, Keegan Murray is just dominating this because he knows what it's like to be a professional basketball player. None of the rest of these guys do. Brandon Miller has four times as many fouls as he has points, and he's the number two pick in the draft. It's a learning curve, folks. One of the big things that's out there today, and people keep sending it to me, the ISU message board on Caitlin Clark, and you know what, folks? And everybody's up in arms with it and blah, blah, blah. I haven't dove that deep into it. I've just been getting it from both sides. Just here to tell you, it's not something that I do, I want to do, I will ever do. I'm not throwing stuff out there to get clicks and likes and to have people notice. If you want to notice, notice. If you don't, don't. I just hope the people that are listening enjoy. He's got more, whoever, I don't even know who it is. I don't even know what it was. I just been having people send it to me all day long. And if there's somebody out there, and there probably is, that thinks that Caitlin Clark has not changed the atmosphere and the attitude for women's college basketball leading into many other segments of getting young, and I'm going to tell you, after seeing some of the camps and stuff, young male and female people involved in basketball and involved in staying in shape and involved in all that, if you don't think that she's made a difference, there's no helping you anyway. So why are we even talking to you? You got, at some point in time, you have special individuals that you can't hold a grudge against because they don't play for your team, or they don't vote the way you vote, or they don't eat the way you eat, or they don't drink the way you drink. You have to be able to be accepting. I guarantee you the John Deere Classic has never had a bigger group walking around. I don't even know if they've had a bigger group walking around during the actual tournament than they had yesterday with Zach Johnson and Caitlin Clark. I am a huge fan of Zach Johnson. He's going to be a Ryder Cup captain. He has had a great career. He's won majors. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. And you know what? He thinks she's pretty cool. And maybe that's just all you need to do. If she doesn't play for your team, don't root for her, but don't root against her. She's changing young people's lives. I wish I could have done that more. I wasn't talented enough to do it, or I didn't have the mental edge to do it. I would love to do it now. It's just harder. She's breaking through people who don't usually get broken through. Where'd we go last night? Soli's. We went to Soli's last night after very good food. Wow. Man, I had a wrap. It was unbelievable. My wife even let me have a beer last night, which hasn't happened very much as well. Not a lot. One, maybe two. Might have been two. But I was sitting there thinking that we're becoming, I mean, Victor Wembanyama, it's a huge deal tonight. He's a huge deal. He has a chance. He's not from here. He's not built like anybody else. There's never been anybody. I mean, growing up, man, I watched Ralph Sampson and I'm like, man, that's different. Then I saw Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm like, man, that's different. Then I saw Larry Bird. Then I saw Michael Jordan. Then I see Steph Curry. Then I see LeBron James. And I see all this, and I'm like, every once in a while, there's this somebody that you look at and you go, wow, Walter Payton. Wow. Tiger Woods. Wow. This kid might be it. Now, is he going to be a 30-point, 10-10 guy? No. He's not big enough yet. NBA is a nasty place, man. You got some big boys. But his skill set, here's the thing that I think he's going to do. I think he's going to average, and I think Chet Holmgren can do this too if he can stay healthy. I think each one of them can average 14, 15, 16 points a game. I think they both can average 10, 12 rebounds a game. I think Chet Holmgren has a chance of maybe a couple assists. I think Victor may have a chance. He may have a chance from the middle of the season till the end of the season, and especially because of the coaching staff and the way the San Antonio Spurs play. He could be a triple-double. He could be a quadruple-double. Because I think he's going to average 10 blocks a game. There's not a lot of 7'5" guys with 10-foot wingspans in the NBA. He's going to block a lot of shots. Now, he's going to get called for a lot of fouls because he's a rookie, and that's the way they do it. If you don't get hazed by the players, you get hazed by the referees. It's just the way it is. He's a special player. You can't dribble like he does. You can't shoot like he does. And I saw people saying, well, look at him. He's shooting and he missed like 10 in a row. Who cares? He's 7'6" doing that. Sean Bradley was that big and had zero athletic ability compared to Victor Wembanyama. I've seen him go behind his back, between his legs, and flip it back around with his offhand and go in for a layup or a dunk. And I'm like, you know what? If he was 6'3 and he was Steph Curry, that'd be pretty cool. He's 7'6". That's amazing. I think that's going to be very, very exciting as well. Here's one, and this kind of irritated me today, and we were talking... We were talking about Big Noon kickoff and ESPN College Game Day and all of that. And here's the part that that actually really irritated me. Scott talked yesterday that Reggie Bush was going away. Well, he did go away. They're not bringing an ESPN guy in to fill that spot. They're bringing in Mark Ingram. I don't know if you've ever listened to Mark Ingram, played at Alabama, played for the Giants, played a bunch of different places. Very articulate, very well-spoken, very intelligent football player. I think he's going to bring a lot of different things. Not that Reggie Bush didn't, but I think Mark Ingram brings something else different. Here's my fallback. Or not fallback's not the right word. Blowback a little bit. Brushback. Is Fox didn't need to bring Urban Meyer back. when you hear the stories that are coming out of Jacksonville and you heard the stories of what he did at the bar or whatever else, you know, there's a time that he could have sat out for a while. You didn't have to bring him back to Big Noon Kickoff. I understand that Urban Meyer is a brilliant football coach. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that. I think Urban Meyer has a brilliant football mind. I think Urban Meyer has a weird way of trying to get that mind molded into, you know, it works with young college athletes because they're scared to death. It doesn't work with NFL athletes, which he learned, because they don't give a crap because they make more money than he does. Can't have the same be said in college football, but there's never been a time that being a bad person, if you get ratings, isn't going to get you on a radio or on a TV. It's just the way it is. It's the way our culture is. I think it's a detriment to Matt Leinart, who I really like. I think it's a detriment to Brady Quinn, who I think is a rising superstar. I think Mark Ingram's going to be doing really well, but I won't watch because I won't watch Urban Meyer. And that pains me a little bit. They're like, well, you should have an open mind. No, I don't have to have an open mind. Not with that. I gave Urban Meyer chances. And to see him break down plays and to see him talk through plays and to see him do all that, it's amazing. But when you hear backstories about him, it's not amazing. Man, I've done some dumb things in my life, but my backstory isn't that big a deal. He's got a bad backstory. It's hard to do this stuff when you're trying to get people to trust you and understand you. And yes, know that you're the smartest man in the room. Maybe sometimes you don't need to be the smartest man in the room. You know, because I was comparing that yesterday, and I said, and it kind of pained me a little bit, because I really like Kirk Herbstreit. And I like the way that they do things. I always have. But I like Chris Fowler. I just think that Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt have it going on. I mean, I have people that when NFL games are being called, I'll watch crappy games to listen to the people that I enjoy on NFL. We'll talk about that when we get closer to it. I really would. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that I listen to different football channels because of who's doing the calls of the games. Now, all I'm doing is barely listening to it and doing I can watch the game and I can do that. I just think that's really interesting. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I used to say we. I am bringing sports your way, hopefully, and some my way every day. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I got a lot of little potpourri nuggets for this next segment. I'll be right back after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Drive home safely. Hope everybody had a great day. Great weekend coming up. Weather's going to be a little nice. We needed the rain today. It was kind of nice to get that. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins Orioles tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. Off the following week, it's the All-Star break. We'll do a lot of All-Star stuff next week. This segment is going to be brought to you by four homeless veterans. Monday, July 31st at the Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk. Great golf course, especially a great golf course to play in a foursome and use best ball. That's really makes it fun. Central Iowa Shelter and Services, CISS, is hosting our fifth annual Four Homeless Veterans Golf Outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in the emergency shelter. Scott and I, along with Melissa and Eric from Baker Group, Eric retired, really enjoyed, and it's a cause that we want to, you know, really get behind, sink our teeth into it, and bring it more to the forefront. That's why we love doing this stuff. the support. And there's a lot of different ways to support. You could be a whole sponsor. It's $250. You can bring a team, a four-person team. It costs you $600. It gets you 18 holes of golf, golf cart, banquet meal, two drink tickets, player raffle, prizes, everything. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow, rebuild, and find their dignity again. This funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day. For many of our veterans, these services are the first steps towards stability and self-sufficiency. What they did for us needs to be paid back. What's that saying? Paid back in spades. I don't understand that as much, but it needs to be paid back. And sometimes, especially for us folks that have never had to go and serve, the things you see, the things you do, the things that happen, it's hard to get them out. I struggle with my day-to-day and have a hard time getting them out. I can't imagine. Help them. And you get to help them by playing golf. So you get to do something fun, and in return, you get to help individuals. These people put a lot of time and effort in to try to get these guys, get them and gals, happy, healthy, wanting to participate and do all the things that they want to strive for. And I love that, and that's why I love talking about it. Okay, for me, one of the biggest news stories also today, Lisa Bluder received a contract extension through 2029. I don't know if all terms were out there. I saw one point at where did I put it at? It's Lisa Bluder. $1.4 million. If her and Jan Jensen want to coach through 2029, I'm figuring they may not want to coach beyond then. I have a feeling they're always going to be welcome. As always, when I have these stories and I retweet these stories or I put them out there on social media, you get blowback, comes back a little bit. Well, what's she going to do when she doesn't have Caitlin Clark anymore? Well, if you're sending that to me, then you haven't been watching very much women's basketball. She has had many, 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 many winning seasons. She's an amazing coach. She is, my assumption, if I was doing it, she easily is in the top 15 all time in women's coaches. I see a point, and here's where you get the sticking point. You need to win a national championship to get into that top 10. Especially to get into the top five. She has a chance to do that. Now, Megan Gustafson, it brought Chisano in. It brought other people in. Caitlin brings a whole different level of people coming in. What Lisa and Jan and Caitlin and this group and these incoming groups, it's going to change the landscape. And not only does it change the landscape in women's basketball in Iowa City, it changes it in Ames. It changes it in Cedar Falls. It changes it in Des Moines with Drake. It's different. Women's basketball is different. I had this discussion last night with my son and one that's like my fourth son. And their thing is, you just can't say what you say because the numbers don't speak that way. And I understand that. And they don't watch a lot of women's sports. I guarantee you more people watch women's sports now than they did 10 years ago. They watch more women's sports than they did 5 years ago. And they watch more women's sports than they probably did 6 months ago. And they're like, but it's never going to. And I'm like, yep, it's not. And it's just like everything else in the world and in life. If you don't get the same breaks, somebody gets a better break because of different viewpoints of men's and women's sports. That doesn't mean that one is better or one is not. One just had a head start, and one gets a lot of breaks. and you have to be very careful with what you do with that. And look at the major sports. You look at hockey, you look at NBA, you look at Major League Baseball, and you look at football. And then you throw in college basketball and college football. You throw those six in. If I would have told you back in 2000 that college football in some regions of the country can overtake the NFL, you'd have said I was crazy. If I would have told you in 1980 that the NFL would be more popular than the NBA, to Major League Baseball. And then if I'd have said it in 1979 to 1995 that the NBA and college basketball would be more important than the NFL, you probably wouldn't have believed me. But it is now. And I believe there are two things that are leading this, and it's the two things that you need in order to football has them both. Most of the others only have one. And football they have sports betting and they have fantasy football. And I understand that people think that fantasy football is sports betting and sports betting and sports betting. When I'm talking about fantasy football brings in everybody. We have one at my work. And there are, I think we had seven people. There are three guys and four gals. That shows you what fantasy football has done. And I'm guarantee you that in my league, those four gals are way more cutthroat than the three of us guys. And then sports betting in general has changed everything. Sports betting for the NCAA tournament has changed the NCAA tournament. It has changed golf. It has changed hockey. It has changed everything. The hardest one it is to change is baseball. Because, and I don't care what anybody says. If somebody out there says they're an expert on betting baseball, I'm not buying it. That is so hard. But baseball is America's pastime. It was in 1970. It was in 2000. It's not anymore. And they are hands above their heads going, what is going on? It's just not the same. It's one of those things, and I didn't think this because I always enjoyed listening and watching baseball. But now I think I've turned the corner and I believe in what a lot of people believe. And they believe that it's better to watch a baseball game live than it is to watch or listen. I don't think that's true. I've gone to a lot of NFL games. I don't think that's more exciting than watching it on TV or getting to watch a bunch of them on TV and sports betting. Now, when they start putting sports betting in stadiums and they're doing all that, I have season tickets, thanks to my good friend from Northwest Bank, has allowed my wife and I to join their group. I love going to college football games. I love watching college football games on TV. I like going to Ames because of the atmosphere. And I spend time in Sukup so I can see other football games. But getting back to Lisa Bluter and what she's done and how she's recruited and how everything, and Bill Finley, I'm not taking it away from any of those guys. It's just women's basketball is different. And for somebody to say, well, why does she deserve that? It's only because of Caitlin Clark. It's not because of Caitlin Clark. It's because of Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluter and everybody else. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to come. Be right back. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back in. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Also, you can check out the website 1700thechamp.com. couple things on the website. One, you can download the podcast of the show. Two, if you're out and about, you can have the, you can use the 1700 The Champ app, and you can listen to the show live or listen to anything that's on 1700 or 101.3. You also can see, I mean, if you follow, you there's all kinds of things that you can follow on that as well. Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they're off next week because it is the All-Star break. So we're looking forward to that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. They provide, design, engineer, install, program, and service HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. They're located in Ankeny, Iowa. Go to woodmancontrols.com to find out more about a outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Love Woodman Controls. Save a lot of time for us property management folks. Okay, wanted to do a little bit on baseball. All-Star break coming up, and it's baseball time. High school baseball, high school softball getting ready to go into you know, to try to qualify for the state tournament. So a lot of fun things going on. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the surprises and things. There's a couple of really cool things. And this one is pretty fascinating. So the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers are 51-37. That is the third. That is the third best record in baseball. I would be probably could win a contest if anybody could name me five people that play for the Texas Rangers. And the reason I used five is today the Texas Rangers became the first team with five all-star starters in 47 years. Now, a couple of them today got there were replacements for Mike Trout and Aaron Judge who are hurt. Adolis Garcia is one of the starters, and they also Garcia joins Ranger catcher Jonah Heim, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Josh Jung. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's five. Five players starting the game. Adolis Garcia is the starting pitcher. So what a great thing for them. Tampa Bay had first baseman Yandy Diaz, outfielder Randy Arozarena, and Shohei Ohtani is the designated hitter. So all-star break, all-star game coming up. That'll be exciting. One of the things I wanted to talk about because it used to this is what baseball used to be in my time. Baseball was a couple of things. The teams with the most money won most of the championships, or a lot of the if you had to have good pitching that won you championships, but the amount of money that you could spend had more to do with how many championships you could win or make it to the postseason. And I'm looking at these, and I can't wait to have Randy in next week to have him kind of go over this dissertation here. But the Tampa Bay Rays spend some money, but they do not spend money at anywhere near what some of these other teams do. The Baltimore Orioles do not either. The Baltimore Orioles, like I said yesterday, they've in the last 3 years with all of the draft picks they've had from trading players have hit gold mines on many a player. The Baltimore Orioles are 51-35. Now here's the big story in Major League Baseball right now is the two of the teams that are out there, the New York Mets and the San Diego Padres. Between the two of them, their payrolls, between the two, is $775 million. $775 million. I guarantee you that is more than the Tampa Bay, all of them, all the Baltimore Orioles, which are in the lead in those two divisions, all of the Minnesota Twins, who are in the lead in, and I think you could probably throw the Cleveland Guardians in there, but their payroll is going to be a little bit higher. The Texas Rangers, it's way more than the Texas Rangers. You have the Atlanta Braves. Their salary is quite big. Miami Marlins' salary is quite small. The Philadelphia Phillies' salary is quite big. The New York Mets' salary is quite big. The Washington Nationals is very small. Cincinnati is very small. Milwaukee Brewers are right in the middle. Chicago Cubs, probably more than what they need for being 40-46 and 8 games out in their division. And being plus 23 in points. They're the only team in the Central Division in the National League that are plus in run differential. And they are in third place. And they're barely in third place. Arizona Diamondbacks do not have a big payroll. The Los Angeles Dodgers do. The San Francisco Giants do. The San Diego Padres do. And the Colorado Rockies do not. So what used to be a have and have not league, and the haves always made the playoffs, it's not that way anymore. They're still up there. There's still times that it is. The biggest payroll, just to go through, in the East, you have Tampa Bay, Baltimore, New York, Toronto, and Boston. Boston and New York probably have the two biggest payrolls on there, and they're in third and fifth. The Minnesota Twins, Cleveland Guardians, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals. Chicago White Sox have the biggest payroll in that division. Maybe the Guardians are second, then Minnesota, then Detroit, then Kansas City. I mean, it's not getting you a lot more wins. The Texas Rangers are not. The Houston Astros are. The Los Angeles Angels are. The Mariners are not. And the Oakland Athletics are not even close. The Oakland Athletics are minus 236 in run differential. And when you, I had some people tell me the other day, well, why is Major League Baseball rewarding the Oakland A's ownership group and giving them a way out of Oakland to get to Las Vegas? Who does that help? And I think this is twofold. I don't think the Oakland Athletics ownership group is, I mean, I think it's probably bottom five in the league. The amount of money they spend per player, bottom of the league. But they're not getting help from Oakland either. It's been ongoing for like the last 15 years on trying to get a new stadium built in Oakland. And the city of Oakland is not helping. So it's not all on the Oakland Athletics. But the Oakland Athletics have not been relevant for a long time. And, it's painful because, I mean, seriously, minus 236 in run differential. You take a look the other way and you look at the East with Tampa Bay, Baltimore, New York, Toronto, and Boston. All of them are plus in run differential. I believe that the Atlanta Braves are the most complete and best team in baseball. And I think Tampa Bay is right behind them, but Atlanta has a little bit better pedigree. I hope the Baltimore Orioles can stay up there. I hate to say this for all the Chicago Cubs fans out there. I could say this about the White Sox fans, but I think they're already shut down. But I think the Cubs, I mean, it's just a tough go. They're the only team with a plus in run differential, and in division, It doesn't say in division. In the last 10 games, they're 3-7. It gets to a point where, and I know Randy may not enjoy this because, you know, he just keeps seeing new people. But I think it's going to be a youth movement in Chicago again, and they're probably going to trade away some people and let some younger kids get some time. I don't see what else you do. And I think they're not the most disappointing team in baseball. I think everybody can agree. And my goodness, I have so many friends that are St. Louis Cardinals. I think the St. Louis Cardinals are the most disappointing team. I mean, they started out horrendously, got themselves back to 500, and have just fallen off the face of the earth again. They're a minus 36. That's not a typical St. Louis Cardinal team. And, you know, the Dodgers with their payroll are plus 11. The Braves with their payroll are plus 30. Philadelphia's is coming back. They're plus 8. The Houston Astros are plus 10. The Yankees are plus 8, and they are playing horrifically. What they did last night was embarrassing. I don't know if you're going to get Aaron Judge. If you get Aaron Judge, it's going to be a hurt Aaron Judge. You're going to have to DH him because of his toe. He's not going to be able to play outfield. I don't know if it's better for them to rest him. You know, I yesterday Scott and I had this huge conversation about what to do with Shohei Ohtani. The problem that the Angels have with Shohei Ohtani is, and we talked about this yesterday, if you missed it, there's only about 5 teams in baseball that can afford him. And the Angels being one, I just don't think they want to afford him. One being the Cubs, I don't think he'll want to go there. And your others are teams that already their payrolls are incredible. I mean, it is mind-boggling what some of these payrolls are. But those are the only if somebody in this league is a $30 million player, then he's a $40 million player. If somebody in this league is a $40 million, if Mookie Betts or Arenado from the Cards or if they're a $30, $35 million, he's a $50. I mean, I think Aaron Judge, healthy, is a $40 to $50. And if he's that, then Ohtani's a $60. You know, he gets compared to the only other person that's ever done what he's done, and that is to pitch and hit as well, and hit home runs. And that's Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth was not a good pitcher, and he was a so-so hitter, but hit a lot of home runs. Shohei Ohtani is such a unicorn that there's not even, he is, this is how I said it to somebody the other night. He is Michael Johnson, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson, all in one. He's the best power hitter in baseball. He's hitting for average. He is pitching lights out. Now, is he the best pitcher in baseball? He's in the top 10. I probably have somebody that could come on here and argue that he's in the top 5. So if you're a top 5 pitcher and the number one offensive player in baseball, how is he not in that conversation of, you know, not only just have, because he had a great season last year. So this now is 2. The only thing you have to do is keep him healthy. You know, he hasn't pitched for a couple because he had a blister on his finger. And as amazing as his home run shots are, his pitching and movement on his pitching, his movement of the ball, is even more amazing. I think he might be a better pitcher than he is a hitter. And that's absurd. So the question is baseball better when Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Texas, Cincinnati, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, because I can't put Atlanta in there because Atlanta has been good for a long time. Is baseball better when those groupings are atop of their divisions? Or is it better when we have the teams we're used to? I like that they're going to be there. Do I think Tampa Bay is going to be there at the end of the season? Yes. Do I think Minnesota is? More difficult. I think they have to make some moves, and I don't know if their organization is ready to make moves. Is Texas? Man, it gets difficult in Texas in the deep of summer, and you have the Astros, and you have the Angels, but the Angels have to make a move. They have to try to do something. Because they cannot afford Shohei Ohtani. I just don't think their ownership group is going to go that kind of money. So that means he's going to one of five places. If you don't trade him at the trade deadline, what do you get? I think the Atlanta Braves will be there. Do I think the Cincinnati Reds and Milwaukee Brewers? The Brewers have a chance. The Cardinals, it's going to be amazing. They're 12 and a half games out. The Cardinals are good enough to do that. I think the Reds and the Brewers can battle. And I don't think the Diamondbacks can hold off the Dodgers. But it's going to be interesting. And you never know what the New York Mets are going to do. Because the two New York teams are who can take them. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. If you're a Minnesota Twins fan, we have them 6:30 tonight, 12:30 tomorrow, 12 o'clock on Sunday. Next week, they are off. Because it's the All-Star break. And then we'll get back into the swing of things after next week and have some more Minnesota Twins baseball. Then man, we're getting close. I mean, July, it's the 7th of July already. We're gonna fly through July. It's gonna be August before you know it. We're gonna be talking college football, professional football. Wow. It is right around the corner. Right around the corner is Heritage Building Maintenance. They provide quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. They're future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind by protecting our future by being a certified partner of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial service to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, let's get through some of this stuff. Just some odds and ends that are out there. Home run derby odds. Pete Alonso, +275. Vlad Guerrero Jr., +350. Lewis Robert Jr., +450. Mookie Betts +1,000. Adley Rutschman is +2,000. Pete Alonso is, you can't, he just has that swing. I think he can do it longer and better than everybody else can. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat him. I would take, I give a little flyer to Mookie Betts, but Adley at +2,000, he's got a shot. Because he's got one of those swings, too. And if he gets in a groove, I think he can do it. All right. Let me see where we're at. This is where we're at. I want to get to our good friend Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton in signing a 5-year, $26 million a year contract said, this is all he really said. My mom has been my everything for me to get here. My mom is the only reason that I am here. Man, if you don't like Tyrese Halliburton, and I get it, we're in a Cyclone Hawkeye feud all the time. If you can't like Tyrese Halliburton, I mean that's me. If all the people on Connor McCaffrey and Jordy Bohannon, guys, they're good dudes. You can't just hate on somebody because of the colors they wear. Come on. Tyrese Halliburton is a great dude. He's a good person for Indiana. He fits them. It's a way better fit than it was in Sacramento. He's going to do big things. And a lot of people thought that, well, how good is he really going to be? Well, you have to remember how young he was when he was in Ames, and he is still young. He's under 25. He is going to be a player because he's a teammate first. And I think that's pretty cool. The NBA 2K24 WNBA edition has Sabrina Ionescu. She's amazing. Think Caitlin Clark with a little bit less athletic ability, but 4 inches taller. I mean, she has been a trendsetter for a long time. I thought it was interesting that I didn't see who the current player was for the NBA, but Kobe Bryant is going to be on one of these 2K24 packages. That's a collector's item there, folks. Don't think that that's not it. I found this very interesting. I only found the AFC. I didn't find the NFC today, but the most AFC division titles since realignment, and I'm not an expert on this, and I apologize for that. I think realignment came in 2000 and some. Help me out. I'm not positive. It was after 2010. I want to say 2008, but I don't know for sure. In the AFC East, the New England, well, if you take 16, 2007, it might be 2007. The New England Patriots have won 16 AFC East titles. Buffalo has won 3. New York has won 1. Miami has won 1. I'm going to come back and talk about these just really quick after saying that. Pittsburgh has won 9. Cincinnati Bengals have won 6. And the Baltimore Ravens have won 6. The Indianapolis Colts have won the AFC South 9 times. The Texans have won 6 times. People forget that with Deshaun Watson and others, how many AFC Souths that they did win. The Tennessee Titans have won 4, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have won 2. I think that number is going to go up. The Kansas City Chiefs have won 9. The Denver Broncos have won 6. The Chargers have won 5, and the Raiders have won 1. So if you wanted to take away some things from the AFC, Cleveland Browns have never won a division title. The Las Vegas Raiders now have only won 1. The New York Jets and Miami Dolphins have each won 1. And the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars have 6 in between them. 16 times the New England Patriots. Now, a lot of that was just from a lot of bad football from those other 3 teams. I mean, there were down years in Buffalo. There were great years with Jim Kelly. And now with Allen, Josh Allen. I mean, the Jets have had 1. The Dolphins have had 1. The AFC North, man, that's been a battle between Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. And Kansas City, I mean, they had some lean times too, but they have come back strong. The Broncos and the Chargers. That's quite the. It's just really, really, really interesting. For the Indiana Pacers today, I think this might be one of the most underrated trades that I've seen during the NBA trade season. They got Obi Toppin for two future second-round draft picks. He has a first-round draft pick from the New York Knicks. He gives them size. He gives them athletic ability. He gives them another runner with that group. I think that could be a way, way bigger thing than what people are thinking. I thought this was kind of interesting, too, as well, that they gave out the toughest college football schedules in 2023. Old Miss, Cal, Florida, South Carolina, Michigan State, Colorado, Purdue, and Minnesota have the toughest schedules. Minnesota is at Ohio State, and they get Michigan and Wisconsin in their building. Purdue is at Michigan and get Ohio State and Wisconsin in their building. Colorado is at Utah, at Oregon, and get USC. Michigan State has at Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. South Carolina is at Georgia, at Tennessee, and gets Clemson at home. Florida is at LSU and has Georgia and Florida State. Cal is at Washington and at Oregon. And Ole Miss, good old Lane Kiffin, is at Georgia, at Alabama, and he has LSU coming in. That is a murderous, oh my goodness, that is not good. So, I have the wife has now sent this two or three times in the last couple of days. Are we going to go see Indiana Jones? It's kind of funny because I'm a huge Indiana Jones guy, and I like to see them. And my issue is, before I see it, I like to see a couple of the others. Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of it. It would be. I have a hard time sometimes. It would be in my top 10. I can't say it would be in my top 5, but it would definitely be in my top 10. The Last Crusade, I thought was, with Sean Connery, I thought it was good. Temple of Doom was okay. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull with Shia LaBeouf. I mean, I like him, but not so much I liked him in there. This new one is, for a lot of the people, Dial of Destiny is, this is what they said today. Good, not great. Absolutely ridiculous at times. Final third takes a wild turn. Movie's too long. Still fun and nostalgic. Harrison Ford is a new role model for 80-year-olds. Final 10 minutes wraps up the series nicely. I think that's probably the coolest part of that, is how they were going to wrap it all up. And I have not seen... See, that's what a lot of these movies this year are. I can't tell you that I've seen all Fast and Furious 8, all the 8 of them before. I've seen a majority of them. I don't know what 9's like. It's going to be one of those nights when I don't have anything better to do, and maybe I'll flip that on. A lot of these are coming to an end that you know they're not coming to an end. The guys that were on before me today, I find this interesting sometimes. They were talking about NFC quarterbacks. And here's the deal, folks. When you look at quarterbacks in the NFL, and you look at the AFC and the NFC, if your bet this year is who's going to have better, the AFC is loaded. I mean, just loaded. I mean, when you look, I'm just going to go down this. And they had, I'll tell you what they had. So they had in the NFC, Andrew Perloff had Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Geno Smith. Zach Gelb had Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Dak, and Geno. They had the same 5. If any of those guys played in the AFC, I don't know if they'd make the top 5. Because you look at Buffalo, Josh Allen. Tua, if he's healthy, he's the most efficient quarterback in the NFL. The New England Patriots have Mac Jones, and everybody's down on Mac Jones. He had a special teams coach and a defensive coach, and not very good coaches to begin with, were his offensive coordinators last year, with Bill Belichick as your coach. How good are you going to be? The Jets have Aaron Rodgers. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. Baltimore has Lamar Jackson. Pittsburgh has Kenny Pickett. It's a wait and see. But they have Mike Tomlin. Cleveland has Deshaun Watson. With a full offseason, a full preseason, and then the season without all these things hanging over his head, Jacksonville. I'm not so sure Trevor Lawrence isn't a top three quarterback in this conference. Tennessee, they're hurting and they're not going to be good. Indianapolis, the same. They're going to hurt this year. The Texans are going to hurt. I think they picked the right person. And then you go down here. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have Justin Herbert. You have Jimmy Garoppolo, and you have Russell Wilson. Jalen Hurts doesn't get you in the top five. Dak Prescott definitely is not in the top five. Kirk Cousins isn't either. And I'm a huge Kirk Cousins fan. I have no idea what in the world these people that are hating on him. He had a horrible coach four out of the last 5 years. And his coach last year was all over the board on what he was asking him to do. Daniel Jones, I love Daniel Jones. I don't even know if he could break the top 10 in the AFC. And I like Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell is going to be great for the Commanders. Jared Goff, I think, is going to surprise people. I have no idea in the world how good Green Bay is going to be. I have none. And I think Justin Fields is going to be, I think he's going to surprise people, and I think he's going to bounce up into the top five very quickly. Tampa Bay doesn't even know who their quarterback is going to be. Carolina Panthers, I don't think they know. Desmond Ridder for the Falcons. The Saints, I don't know. The 49ers, Trey Lance, I don't know. Geno Smith, do you think Geno Smith's going to do the same thing Geno Smith did last year? Matthew Stafford is hurt. He can't move. And his only wide receiver is Cooper Kupp, who's coming off an injury. And Arizona Cardinals, I'm telling you right now, before the trade deadline in the NFL, which not very many people get traded, Kyler Murray is getting traded. The one thing the Arizona Cardinals do not want is for Kyler Murray to come back and play well. Because if he does that, then I don't know what they do. It is a crazy thought. How many quarterbacks did we say in the AFC compared to that group in the NFC? How did the NFC let that happen? You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fan. One segment left. Potpourri for the weekend. Be right back. Happy Friday. Last segment of this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6:30, 12:30, and noon. It's the last time for a week. All-Star break coming up. It's always a good time. As always, want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and four homeless veterans, the golf tournament at Legacy Golf Club, Monday, July 31st. More on that as we get closer to that date. Hopefully we can get a good group there and see how that all works out. So hope everybody had a good Friday. This week went really fast since we kind of missed a day in there for July 4th, which is always nice. And now July feels like it's more than halfway over, even though it is not. I found this every once in a while. I find something that backs up sometimes some of the things that I at least think in my head. And there was one that I'm trying to, it's just, it's, oh, it's different, but it's, here, let me, two things. First is Commissioner Jay Moynihan, from the PGA. I had two of them. He provided an update to players this afternoon and on his health and on his plans to return. Man, talk about having a difficult conversation that had to be. To have to sit down and you know, I still think a lot of PGA players understand that he didn't have their back, and that's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing to come back from. It's going to be interesting to see how he does that. The second one is, and if the boys are listening, they're going to be angry about this one, but Ime Udoka, who is the coach for the Houston Rockets now. And a lot of people had said that, you know, James Harden had a wanted to go to the Houston Rockets. And Ime today said, yeah, that's not going to work here. He does not fit in any way, shape, or form of the way that I coach basketball. Listen, I think James Harden is an amazing basketball player, and the things that he can do, I think his handle, his shooting ability, and all of that. I've just never been a fan, and he's been on a bunch of teams. I don't know. It's interesting. Most passing touchdowns among active players. This was kind of a huge. Aaron Rodgers has 475. The next closest to him is Matt Ryan at 381. Matthew Stafford at 333. Russell Wilson at 308. Kirk Cousins has 252. Andy Dalton, 244. I didn't know Joe Flacco was still in the league. He has 232. Derek Carr has 217. There's one, too. The New Orleans Saints could be a different team this year as well. Ryan Tannehill has 212. Tennessee Titans aren't going anywhere with him. And Patrick Mahomes has 192 on that list in a lot less time. 2 months away from yesterday, the Detroit Lions in Kansas City for the first NFL football game. It's 2 months away, folks. 2 months away. This was an interesting one today, and I was trying to figure this one, too. And I had a couple of different answers in a couple of different times. Who will lead the NFL in receiving this year? Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, CeeDee Lamb, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. So I can take some of these out pretty quickly. I think Tyreek Hill, they have too much talent on offense. I think he's going to get catches, but he's not going to get catches at some of these others. So I'm taking him out. I don't think CeeDee Lamb's good enough, and I don't think the Dallas Cowboys, the passing yardage will get him to that point. So I take him out. Travis Kelce's the tight end. He may lead the league in receptions. He's not going to lead them in receiving yards. So there's three out. So that leaves me Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. Stephon Diggs is unhappy. Josh Allen did not have a good year. So I think I can knock him out. Davante Adams has Jimmy Garoppolo, and then who knows? And when's the last time Jimmy Garoppolo played a whole season? I think you can knock him out. So I think you're down to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. And I think Ja'Marr Chase, I think he has too many other people that Joe Burrow can throw to. I think it's going to be Justin Jefferson. You can hit me up online to bark at me for that or not bark at me for that. Best home win percentage all time regular season. This one shocked me. I get number two. Green Bay Packers are number two. Minnesota's number three. Tough place to play. Loud. Dallas Cowboys, I think that's a good home field as well. We're number four. Miami Dolphins were number five. New England Patriots were number six. The Kansas City Chiefs were number seven. The Denver Broncos were number eight. Once again, altitude, tough place to play. The Pittsburgh Steelers, just a really good home team. And the Chicago Bears. Number one, Baltimore Ravens. I don't know why that is. It's not a, I don't think it's a home. I mean, Baltimore's a cool place. It's a home field. I mean, I get that. I wasn't expecting it to be the Baltimore Ravens. I really wasn't. And this was one that popped up today, and I thought this one was really kind of cool. And I'll go through some of my, it's each fan base's in the NBA's most hated player. Some of these are really easy. The Indiana Pacers, LeBron James. He's kept them out of championship games. Golden State Warriors. The only person that took away that one win was LeBron James, taking that win away from them. The Detroit Pistons, same with LeBron James. He kept them out of the playoffs. Some of these are interesting. Atlanta Falcons is Joel Embiid. I guess I wouldn't have thought of that. Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtics just don't like Kyrie Irving for the time that he was there. The Nets do not like Giannis. Giannis kept them out of going to a championship game. The Chicago Bulls, Grayson Allen. Somebody's going to have to help me. Did he hurt somebody on that team? The Dallas Mavericks fan base hates Rajon Rondo. Who knew? Minnesota Timberwolves hate Jimmy Butler. The Milwaukee Bucks do not like James Harden. The Miami Heat, it's a tie now between LeBron James for leaving and Nikola Jokic for beating them. The LA Lakers is Grayson Allen. Who did Grayson Allen hurt on that? I don't remember who he hurt on that team either. Just some of these were really... The Portland Trailblazers, they hate Russell Westbrook. The Oklahoma City Thunder hate Patrick Beverley. The 76ers hate LeBron James. See, LeBron James has knocked a lot of these Eastern Conference teams out of contention. It was kind of fun. The San Antonio Spurs most hated player is Grayson Allen. That he has more than LeBron James. I thought that was funny. Once again, earlier in the show today, we talked a little bit about mental health and sports and all of that, and it happens more than we probably talk about. Matthew Wolf is the last person we talked about earlier. And here's the thing for any of you that play golf, and I would love to play four times a week, but my body doesn't let me play four times a week. I'm lucky if I get two. It is the most aggravating and exhausting and funnest thing I've ever done in my life. And I couldn't imagine having those same feelings and it was my everyday job, because I couldn't do it. If my feelings were what I just said, and even though I said those three things, I still love to play golf. It's just frustrating and all of those things. Now imagine doing that and you're having mental issues. You're in a dark place and you're trying to do something that is so difficult and so you just can't, you don't want to do it anymore. And then the next morning you wake up and you go, hey, let's go golfing. It's tough for Matthew Wolf. I feel for him, and Brooks Koepka owes him an apology, I think. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Hope everybody have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday.